Hello, Grinders, and welcome to the Fantasy Fix Pod. I'm your host, Travis Mangone, here to talk with you about the basketball slates. I'll be filling in for the next couple days with Dan being at FSTA. So, yeah, excited to talk about the basketball games for you. Before we get started, head on over to Fantasy Draft. Check it out if you guys haven't yet. It's an awesome site. Have tons of different, ways to build your lineups, different types of guards, centers. You can just roster anyone, kind of. It's very, position flexible. So head on over and check that out. Also, they're doing something different than the other sites. It's funny. Today, DraftKings, they're doing the 7 o'clock normal lock time. FanDuel said, we're going to do 7:30. We're going to leave the 7 o'clock game off. So that way they give enough time for the 8 o'clock games for news. Fantasy Draft said, we're just going to do it at 8. So there's three different lock times for three different sites. So that's pretty cool because we can, I guess, have to focus on only one site at each time, basically. So I think it's a great idea. I love how the sites have different lock times. With them having different lock times, you can focus on each site, and just be able to, button things up the right way, and instead of feeling so crazy and hectic, especially if, like, tons of crazy news drop. So, yeah, definitely, like I said, that I think it's a cool thing that Fantasy Draft's doing, and then, FanDuel decided to do it today, so we'll see how it all keeps going, but Fantasy Draft will be doing that going forward, and I think that's an awesome thing that they're doing. You guys, if you haven't signed up for contests, say it. I just think it's awesome because you're just able to, have it at a different time and be able to focus on it. And, hey, we get that late news possibly that could obviously help us out because that late news kind of messes us up and can be a real real pain. But, all right, let's get started and start talking about this slate. We started off with, one of the biggest totals on the night here, at least coming from the 8 o'clock games, the Chicago Bulls and the New Orleans Pelicans. 227.5 team total. This is a game you're going to want to target. Just plain and simple. It's got a lot of high pace, not a lot of defense being played. I mean, this is a good one all around. Definitely have some interest in it, especially with there being no Chris Dunn, right? He's still going to be out. We don't know how long he's going to be out for, but he is still out right now. So, I mean, that's just going to be very big for this game. We have a lot of guard minutes to go around. Guy like Zach LaVine, he's someone that's been really cheap around the industry. Last game, he was on a 25, minutes restriction. Believe he'll still be around that unless we hear. Haven't heard much otherwise, at least at this point. But we might get word that he might have a higher one. Again, he didn't really hit that last game. He had 18 minutes. So, I'm expecting him just to go to 24 this time. This time, I think they'll get him there. I think that Zach LaVine is a perfectly fine play, someone that you can consider, even at that price tag. Again, not someone you love, but I think at the price tag, you have to have him in consideration for sure. Jerian Grant, he's going to be, a value guard that you're going to want to like around the industry. Definitely someone to get exposure to for sure. Even like a Holiday, he's someone to like too. Those are just going to be, really important parts to look at for cheap because of this high total. We like targeting the Pelicans with like wing type players that shoot like from behind the arc. Like Holiday is a perfect fit for that. I think he's a really good play, and as long as his shot's hitting, I mean, he's just gonna keep going and have a monster game. So I like him a lot. I also think guys like Mirotić and Markkanen, I think they're interesting too. I know they'll be dealing with Anthony Davis a little bit on the defensive end, but if you told me who I had to pick, it'd probably be Markkanen would be the guy I would go with. I like him here in this spot. He's probably my number two favorite guy. So it's probably Holiday. And probably Holiday's probably my one. Maybe Grant's my two, and then Markkanen three. I like Grant a lot. Just depends on his price around the industry because he's gotten priced up a little bit because of the situation. It's not like it's the first game back, so it kind of depends on where his price is around the industry for you guys. So, but 9.7K on Fantasy Draft. I mean, that's just a great salary relief. So going to probably want to get him in my lineup so I'm able to jam in some other guys. And speaking of jamming in guys, I mean Boogie and Anthony Davis. We got them on the opposite against a Bulls team that runs really fast pace. They started out the year, after like the first month, they were like last in pace, right? Which is pretty, pretty ridiculous. And then now they're all the way up to like 10th. So with that giant pace boost, I mean, there's, obviously reasons to, think this team is running really, really fast, which they are, right? Like that's why their pace is going up so much. So yeah, you have to like Boogie and, Brow here. They're just in two good of spots. The question is, which one do you pay for, right? I'm going to obviously take the approach and try and jam both in, I think. I think it's a good idea to try and jam both in. Don't think you'll be able to jam both in. That's going to be kind of one of the issues because there's going to be some other guys that we like, right? There's going to be, I'll get to them, but, with Giannis out, Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe are going to be two studs that you want on this slate, and they're, like, priced up in the mid-tier, so I don't know if you'll be able to fit all, like, four of those guys. Haven't done a ton of roster construction and whatnot, but I do think that, you're going to have to pick between Cousins and Davis. And if I had to pick, It's tough. I'd probably go Davis, but I don't know. I do get the argument of like, yeah, just go Cousins because you don't have to worry about an injury. They're both pretty similar players. I think it just depends on the position, right? It depends on how you feel about it. Well, you know, where you want to basically like where you're seeing the value at. If you feel safe with if you feel safe with Cousins because you like your power forwards better, go ahead with that. If you like your centers better, go ahead with Davis. I think that's a perfectly fine approach to take, and that's normally what I like to do. All right, let's move on to the next one we have. Actually, no, sorry, we can't move on to the next one yet. We have, we still got to talk about a couple other guys. We got to talk about Rajon Rondo, right? In a little bit of a revenge game, too. 9.8K, I think he's an interesting tournament option. We know he doesn't like the Bulls, right, from his time there. Pretty frustrated with the situation he had. I think Rondo's a really good tournament play. I'm not a Drew Holiday guy. I think he's a fine player. You know, he's upside at times, but it just seems very unpredictable. So the only time I really take him is when Anthony Davis is out. That's when it seems predictable, so I'll pass on Drew Holiday, no need for me. And then I don't mind Etuan Moore if you need him for salary relief, but I don't think it's necessary on this slate. Let's move on to the next one. We got the Miami Heat and the Houston Rockets. It's a 214.5 team total, where the Rockets is 8-point favorites. And this is a game where, you know, against the Heat, like, I never want to roster Rockets, but, you know, the guys are turning, and, like, against the Heat, I don't know. I don't have a lot of interest in it. James Harden was on that minutes restriction the other day, and it was a 30-minute restriction. He ended up playing 34 minutes in the game. Still kind of priced down. I don't know if we're going to see him get pushed, right? If he, you know, he's playing a team like the Heat, if he, you know, if the game isn't, like, if the game's close, sure, he might be in the game. But the problem I have with James Harden here is I know his price is down a little bit from the past, and but he's just not guaranteed those 40 minutes and whatnot. I don't know. I think you just got to keep taking the wait-and-see approach on him. I could see him just getting maybe 30 minutes and then just kind of, you know, not really running him much in the fourth. And that's definitely something I'm concerned about. So with the, with Trevor Ariza coming back, Gerald Green coming back, Rockets are starting to get a little crowded there again. So I don't know. I think not playing Harden is fine. I don't really feel the need to pay for Chris Paul today. I don't think it's necessary on this slate. A lot of these Rockets, I'm really just not too interested in. I think if you force me to play anyone, it'd probably be maybe Clint Capella, because he's just really cheap at 12.1K, and against a guy like Hassan Whiteside, he just, you know, he's going to be in there for a lot of minutes. Just guaranteed minutes, like feels like always a guaranteed double-double. So I don't mind Clint Capella, but I don't know. I don't think it's a day to play the Rockets. And so about the Heat, though. What do we do with them? You know, Goran Dragic, he was dealing with an injury. You know, it came out that he hurt himself during the Milwaukee game, and then, you know, I think it was the Nets game. I forget which game it was, but the next game after that had an issue too. Like he's clearly dealing with an injury situation, and that's something to be concerned about. And that's one reason why I was trying to figure out what was going on with him when he wasn't playing well. But kind of figured that out now after Spoelstra told us. So I don't know. I think Goran Dragic is a fine guy to stay away from. If we hear he's like 100% healthy though, and like, you know, Tyler Johnson's out and all those guys, then yeah, it's going to be tough not to play him. He's going to be someone that we want to really, really consider. You know, Josh Richardson, he has just been so safe and just such a good cash game play. I think he's going to be another good cash game play here against the Rockets. Fast base total for him. Just a great game environment that fits him well. So I like him. If Dragic sits, though, like a guy like Wayne Ellington is going to be a great option. He played a lot of like point guard at times. James Johnson, too. He played a point guard. Like, so a lot of the news is going to hinge on what happens with, you know, what happens with Goran Dragic in this game. You know, listed as questionable. This is just a really, really big news, and it's an 8 o'clock game. So, you know, on Fantasy Draft, since they lock at 8, we'll have that news in time. So just, like, be on the lookout for that. That's very, very important news. And if Goran Dragic plays, that'll mess some things up a little bit, but there's still some decent plays. Like, I still think Josh Richardson is a fine play. But if Goran Dragic sits, man, like, this is just going to open up a lot. So we really got to wait for that news. Let's talk about the next game. We got the Phoenix Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks. This is a 212.5 team total, with the Bucks as 4-point favorites. And this is a big game for Eric Bledsoe, right? Eric Bledsoe got traded from the Suns, a little bit of a revenge game for him. You know, we know he doesn't like, he didn't like his time in Phoenix that much. I think at the start it was okay, but then, you know, definitely fizzled out pretty poorly. So, and Eric Bledsoe is, with no Giannis, is going to be a guy that I want to get a lot of exposure to. Eric Bledsoe, Chris Middleton, those are two guys I'm going to be loading up in my lineups. Tony Snell, I like him still for cheap. I think he's a fine, safe cash game option. Even Sterling Brown, wouldn't mind getting exposure to him. Don't hate going the John Henson route, too. I think it's fine. You know, he had some decent ownership the other day. I believe it was like in cash games, it was like 35% or 40%. I mean, decent ownership on John Henson. But, Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's like I think it gets a little bit of a bump without Giannis, but I don't think it's as much as some people maybe think. I don't know. It's a spot against the Suns isn't bad though, especially if they're going to match up. I know Tyson Chandler is not like the Tyson Chandler's not like the you know the guy you want to attack, right? But there's just opportunities for rebounds and whatnot. So, and I'm kind of curious what they do on the opposite side. I'm curious if the Suns maybe bench Tyson Chandler and go with the go with the Greg Monroe revenge. They might. I don't know if they will, but it's possible. So that's something to be on looking out on. Other than that, on the Bucks, anything else? Not really. Maybe like again, like Adelodadova isn't terrible, but I just think it's really that core starters of Snell, Bledsoe, Middleton, and Brown. And Bledsoe and Middleton are on like their own tier, and then Brown and Snell are just like interesting cash game salary relief options. So about the Suns though, so Devin Booker, I think he's a fine play. Wouldn't mind playing him, but if you make me pick, I'm probably going with the 3K savings and going with TJ Warren. I feel like I'm already spending a lot of money today, so I feel like TJ Warren would fit my builds a lot better. For that 3K salary relief on fantasy draft, I like him a little bit more. Tyler Ulis, I don't like him as much this season. He's just not getting those minutes that he was. Like the reason why I liked Tyler Ulis last year is he was playing like 40 to 48 minutes every game. I mean, it was just insane. Sure, Tyler Ulis is still playing a decent amount of minutes. Like if you look at the game log, pull it up now. He has 21 minutes, 24, 24, 31, 31, 34. Like, he creeps into 30 sometimes. He's playing like a real starter, not playing like it was the end of the year and he was just the guy and the only guy. So I know his price is cheap and it's not what it was, but, I just don't, I don't know. Tyler Ulis doesn't really get it done for me. I don't think it's necessary as a salary relief option. I think there's better ways to, save on guys. I think TJ Warren is the best bet on this team. That's the guy I would really want. If we get news that Greg Monroe is going to get, 25 to 30 minutes at center tonight, Greg Monroe revenge makes sense. I would definitely get behind that and walk down Narrative Street for that because we know Greg Monroe, he's had his revenge games before and gone off in those. So definitely think that's not a terrible option. Dragic Bender, I know he was a cheap option that we were using earlier, maybe like a week or so ago, but I don't think he's necessary at this point. And at this price, it's just not a great value. So it's really just Devin Booker and TJ Warren for me and Greg Monroe if he is in the revenge spot. And then I'm just kind of moving on. But TJ Warren's the guy I like the most. All right, let's move on to the next game, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Memphis Grizzlies 205 team total. Tough game, right? Because it's just I love playing the Sixers, but I really hate playing the Grizzlies. It's one of the fast-paced teams in the league against one of the slowest-paced teams in the league, which is going to be great for the Grizzlies, but bad for the Sixers. But we'll talk about the Sixers first. I really don't think I'm playing many of these guys. I think if we have the same injuries, if we have the same injuries as the other day, right? Robert Covington becomes in play. He had a pretty big game, even like a Dario Saric, but I really don't like this matchup for them. That's kind of one of the issues. So I don't really know how I want to approach it. Sure, if I need like a cheap value forward, Covington at 10.4K in fantasy draft, I love that. And I think I could do it, but again, it's such a slow team. I hate targeting like low totals like that. I don't know. I think Covington is fine if we know he's going to be in that same, again, if he's going to be in like the same situation, which there's definitely a chance he is. So I definitely, we got to kind of keep an eye on the Jared Bayless news of all things. So far, we have Jared Bayless at a... I'm not having much on him yet, but I'm sure it's still like questionable and whatnot. And probably we'll get the news, we'll get the news before lock for sure because it's an 8 o'clock game and the Sixers are good at getting us that. But that's kind of the news we really have to wait on because that just gives more, minutes and just more opportunities for Covington too. So yeah, I think Covington's the guy that you want to target on the Sixers if you take anyone because he's just way too underpriced and had a big game the last game, starting to get things going a little bit. I wouldn't be paying up for Simmons and Embiid. I just don't think we need to pay for them on this slate. Sure, Simmons is only 14.3K, which seems crazy, but I just don't think we need to in this matchup. It's not a good one, so I'll pass on that. TLC, too, I don't need him for value. I think there's other ways you can get value instead. But and Sarge, 12.4, don't love that price tag, but wouldn't hate playing him. Other than that, I really don't like the Sixers. It's really just Covington, and that's it, just because it's that pace is not great for them. Talk about the next one. We have the Grizzlies now. What do we do with them? This is a pretty good spot for us to, target them because they're playing against the Sixers team. They're playing at a fast pace. I mean, it's also Dylan Brooks' birthday, so happy birthday to Dylan Brooks. But with the injuries that they have going on, right, the Grizzlies, they are definitely really interesting. If we have the same injuries that we've had in the past, right, we got Jermichael Green. He looks like he's going to be out with an ankle. We got a guy like Jarrell Martin. He's questionable for this game, right? We got Brandon Wright. He had an illness. He didn't play on Saturday. Illness, I'm guessing he'll play now, but you never know. I don't really know the terms of the illness. Same with Dylan Brooks, though. He's questionable, too. I like him, but he's questionable with an illness as well. You don't know with illnesses, so you kind of have to wait until game lock. Chandler Parsons is out. James Ennis is out. I mean, everyone is out. It's pretty crazy. So, you know, Mike Conley's still out. We got Andrew Harrison. He's a game-time decision. He's probable, though, so I'm sure he'll play. Mario Chalmers, he's questionable. So I wish I could evaluate the situation well for you, but with so many guys out and questionable and just, like, probable, I think the best approach to say is just wait for the news on the Memphis Grizzlies, like, you know, Philadelphia game. The Grizzlies news is very big. Depending on how many guys are in, and they could, I mean, with all these guys questionable and, like, you know, dealing with illnesses, they could very much be, you know, only playing with 7 to 8 guys. I mean, it could just be bad. There could be guys that are just, you know, putting on uniforms and not even playing. I mean, it could be ugly. So just be on the lookout for that news. And it seems like you're going to be forced into playing a lot of Memphis guys. And just look for that Memphis value. You know, Tyreke Evans and Gasol, I think they're fine pay up options. And if you want to pay up for them, sure. I don't hate them at all. I think they're good options here. But I just don't know if we're going to need to go that route on this slate. I just think there's other, like, again, like Middleton and Bledsoe just are such good plays. And then, you know, again, you're going to want to get a Davis or Cousins, I feel like, on this slate. So I feel like I'm just running out of money, and I feel like there's going to be a really great way to save is going through with the Memphis value. So that's kind of the approach I'm taking. So about the next game, Washington Wizards and the Dallas Mavericks. Not the greatest game on the slate for sure, but 213.5 team total. You know, Dallas has been playing a little faster this year, so definitely it's not the worst game, but I don't know. I just don't really roster a lot of guys from both these teams that often. John Wall, 17.1K, kind of expensive for me. I don't think I need to be playing him on this slate. There's other guys at that price that I'd rather play instead. Like, we'll get to it. You know, Damian Lillard, he's only $1,000 less. I'd rather play him than, John Wall against the Nuggets. So, I don't know. I just don't think I need to be playing John Wall in this slate. No, I'm not really a fan of him in this spot. I think Gortat's a decent, like, safe cash game center, maybe. I don't know about cash games, but he's tough. You know, he was doing really well, and it's kind of he's kind of been back and forth now. But Dallas is the matchup to target him in, right? Like, just Dallas is terrible against opposing centers. Gortat could really eat here, so I don't hate him as an option. Maybe more of a tournament play if you need a cheap value center. I think that makes more sense. But I really don't want to play a lot of these Wizards. I think the one Wizard that you can play is Otto Porter. He's been getting a different role. I believe the role is like he's, you know, kind of coming off the bench more with, like, the second unit. He's still starting, but he's, like, coming off. He's kind of, like, working with the second unit a little more, basically. So, and that's giving him a higher usage. He had a big game against the, Detroit Pistons. He had 40.9 fantasy points. This is on FanDuel I'm looking at right now. So, yeah, obviously the four steals helped bump it up, but, like, probably finished draft, he was probably mid-30s. So, yeah, I mean, Otto Porter, in that new role, he's going to be really interesting. Just getting more usage with the second unit is going to be big for him. So I think, I think Otto Porter is someone to definitely consider here in this spot. And that's, like, the one Wizard I would play. Dallas Mavericks. I just don't want to play any Mavericks on this slate. It just feels gross. It doesn't really feel that necessary to me. Sometimes they have some cheap prices, like Dirk. He's 9K. So I think Dirk is sort of kind of interesting. Like, I don't hate it. It's just, if you need a value forward, sure. If he's a value cash forward, I don't hate it. But it's just, again, I really don't want to play many Mavericks there. I think Dennis Smith Jr. is a fine point guard option if you need him for cheap. I mean, 12.6 is not a bad price tag, so I guess I don't hate him. Like, Harrison Barnes, he's safe and consistent at 13.2K, but they're just not really sexy options. So I don't know. I think I'm just going to kind of cross Dallas off on this slate and move on. Next game, Portland Trailblazers and the Denver Nuggets. Damian Lillard, like him a lot here in this spot for 16.1K. I think there's a lot of tournament winning upside here. I think he's a really good tournament option. So, guy that I would like to get exposure to today. People just won't play him, and it's the Nuggets, right? Nuggets are home, too. We have the Blazers coming in as 3-point dogs. I just think it's a really good spot for Dame. So, I'm going to target him in tournaments for sure. CJ McCollum, don't think he's a bad option, too. I think if you don't want to go Dame, you can go McCollum instead. don't mind going him on that route. We also got Nurkic in the revenge game, right? We know Nurkic, he's done it before against this team. He went absolutely off against them. So, yeah, I don't hate Nurkic, too, if you need a cheap center. He's only 12.1K. You know, if it's between, you know, a guy like Gortat or Nurkic and just had to spend $1,000 more, maybe I go the Nurkic route. I know it's not the greatest matchup against a guy like Jokic, but, man, we've seen what Nurkic can do. And, you know, Nurkic, when he gets going, like, he's starting to play a little bit better now. So I don't know. I kind of don't mind, that in tournaments. I think it's just interesting. You just have to be ready. Like, I'll read you his game logs. 17.7, 48.4, 24.9, 16.5, 37, 27.1, 32.6. It's all over the place, right? But I don't know. That price tag on Fantasy Draft is really good, it feels like. I don't know. 12.1 is just a really good price. So I don't mind him in tournaments, too. It's really like Lillard and Nurkic are the two guys I really like in tournaments. Those are probably the two I would target. And then other than that, I don't need to play a lot of these other guys. It's only 210 total, so again, not my favorite game. It's funny, last year you would think this game would be, you know, just a gold mine, probably like a 220 team total. These teams were playing so fast last year, but both of them have kind of slowed down a bit, and both are better on defense this year, gotten better all around. Nuggets, what do we want to do with them? Jokic, 16.9K. Is that a price we want to pay for on this slate? I don't think so. I think Jokic is fine. He's a good option, right? But I don't know. Mike Malone's been messing with a lot of minutes recently. Like, that spot against the Suns was really frustrating. I don't know. I don't think on this slate I want to mess around with Mike Malone and what he does. So I don't know. I think I'm just going to pass on Jokic on this slate. Don't think it's necessary. I think Wilson Chandler, if you need a salary relief guy, that's the guy I want. They said they were going to run him a lot more at the four, and they have started to. He's a guy that, you know, when he gets minutes, right, you know, sometimes he doesn't do a lot with them, which is frustrating, but he can, right? We've seen him have crazy upside last game against Phoenix, 32 minutes, 9.7 fantasy points. Very frustrating, right? That is in his wheelhouse, right? But we know that he's getting more minutes, and we just need to kind of trust that he can get, you know, maybe this is the matchup it happens, right? I thought Phoenix was, like, the for sure spot, and it was really frustrating, but if you know he's getting the minutes and you need a cheap value guy and you want to get exposure to this game, I think that's the route you take. I mean, Trey Lyles, 10.2K, he's okay too, but I'd rather just go Wilson Chandler at 8.8K. I mean, it's just such a cheap value on fantasy drafts, so that's kind of what I would do. Jamal Murray, he's been really good, just been absolutely crushing it, but yeah, I don't know. On this slate, don't think we need to be playing Jamal Murray. If you think, and I hit the 47 fantasy point game against Phoenix Suns, but like, this is a different situation, right? The Trailblazers have been really good defensively, one of the better defensive teams in the league this year, surprisingly. And I don't know, I think Jamal Murray is just a fade on this spot, but he's got to look out for the rest of the season. You know, don't sleep on him. People will not roster him day in and day out because they think his price is too much. So when you get him in good matchups and he's underowned, make sure to target him. All right, last game of the slate, late night hammer, 10:30 game, and this is a pretty good one, actually. Again, another reason why I didn't love the other two games I just talked about was because we had this one waiting, and there were some other good games before, but this one's a really good one. Minnesota Timberwolves and the Los Angeles Clippers, 221.5 team total, with the Timberwolves as 2-point road favorite, so definitely have to like this spot. We got some injury news, though. You know, obviously, Austin Rivers, he is, you know, he's still out for you know, 2 weeks or whatnot, but he could be returning, right? That was announced on January 4th, so we're almost at that 2-week mark, so I don't know. He could possibly play. We don't know, so just be on the lookout for that. That's obviously going to be important news if he does somehow play. I don't know if he will, but obviously that's something to look for sure. Other than that, you know, we got Gallinari. He's, you know, still dealing with an injury. They say he's going to return at some point in January. So, hey, we're at some point in January, right? This is, you know, January 22nd. So I don't know. He could return here or, possibly soon. So be on the lookout for that moving forward, just so you don't miss that. And DeAndre Jordan, expecting him to miss this game. So, not really worried about him. So what do we do on the Clippers side? Again, we got to kind of make sure that, you know, Rivers and Gallinari are out, which again, I'm just going to do the analysis, assuming that they're not. And if they're in, we have to obviously adjust. But Milos Teodosic, don't hate him. I think he's a pretty good option against a team like the Timberwolves, who struggle against point guards. I think we could definitely play him at that price on fantasy draft. He's 10.3K. Don't mind him as an option. Tyron Wallace has been really good, but I don't think we need his value on this slate. And he'll probably have to deal with Wiggins or Jimmy Butler all game, and that's a disaster. I'm sure he'll get Wiggins, and then I'm sure Williams will get Lou Williams will probably get the Jimmy Butler treatment, or Wiggins will probably get one or the other. Well, I'm probably not going to play him at all on this slate. Lou Williams, don't think it's necessary. I think he'll have a hard time having to deal with Wiggins and Butler. And if that's the case, right, I'm expecting some offense to be funneled into Blake Griffin. And I like this spot for Blake Griffin a lot. I think Blake Griffin it might not be the greatest DVP spot for him. I believe that the Timberwolves are actually pretty good at defending the four, right? But I don't know. It's such positionless basketball. I'm not really going to worry about that when there's such a high usage guy that is just going to be dominating the offense. And he could see Towns at times. I wouldn't be surprised if Willie Reed go on Gibson, because Willie Reed's going to be more of like a guy that wants to go down low and get his shots down there, and Gibson kind of wants to defend down there instead, and then have Blake Griffin be going star against star type of thing. And I'm not worried about Cat's defense at all. He's not a great defender. So yeah, I think Blake Griffin is definitely a guy to like on this slate for 15.4K. I think he's someone that probably my favorite Clippers option, so he's the guy I would definitely be targeting. Don't mind Montrezl Harrell if you know he's going to get the minutes. That's kind of a problem. The other day he didn't get a ton, so I just don't think we have to mess around with that type of value on this slate. Unless I know it's secure value, I don't really want to mess with it. So that's kind of the approach I'm going to take, unless I get news that he's going to get the run. Don't think it's really that necessary. All right, we got the Minnesota Timberwolves. This is a great spot. I love targeting the Clippers with wings, right? And Jimmy Butler, he's going to be a great tournament option here on this slate. Also, Jeff Teague at 11-2, I think he's a really good option. I still think he's kind of like too cheap for what Jeff Teague is and can be. Won't be playing Andrew Wiggins, that guy. I know it's not a bad spot for him, but with Teague back, that's really messed some things up. And if he'll just go off, randomly every once in a while with Teague in there, and I'll just kind of miss out on those and whatever, unless he's like super cheap and just way underpriced for what he should be and like just at a spot I've never seen him. But at this price, I'm not going to play him. I think it's really Jeff Teague and Butler are the two guys I like. I just like Teague's price for cheap, has upside. And then Jimmy Butler, I mean, I just love playing wings against the Clippers. I think this is a great spot for Jimmy Butler. So like him a lot. If you have the money for him, sure. But he's not a guy I'm like going out of my way to roster. I think he's a really good tournament option. Karl Anthony Towns, I don't know. I don't think it's the slate for him. Sure, he's not a bad option, right? But I just don't think it's the right slate for him. I think there's, I'd rather find the money to pay up for Boogie. I'd rather pay down for some other guys. Just don't think you need to go the Towns route today on this slate. Not my favorite spot for him. And then Taj Gibson, if you need a safe guy at that price, sure, he's safe. Has a little bit of upside too at that price, 10-3, but don't think you need to go that route on this slate on fantasy draft with the way you can build. If you're playing like a site like a FanDuel and you're stuck with two power forwards, I get if you have to play him over there. Los Angeles Clippers, we already talked about them. So yeah, that's about it, guys. Not really interested in many of these bench guys here. So that's about it for this slate. It's a pretty good one. I did the podcast on Saturday, and I gave you my lock and load play. I like to do that. We do that on the weekend grind, the lock and load play of the day. So I'll give you one over here. It's pretty simple. It's just Middleton and Bledsoe. Play them on your teams. Do not miss out on them. And I know people will say, oh, that's such an obvious thing. But like I was talking to another person the other day when we were talking about like FanDuel stuff, and some value opened up, right? And he was playing Tyreke Evans over Middleton, and then had like a value shooting guard, so he's able to make everything work. And I was like, you're an idiot. Play Middleton over Tyreke Evans. And like that was a huge difference in cashing and not cashing. And again, it's just one of those things, like that late value opened up and it just made Tyreke Evans look like a really sexy play. But like, don't forget about Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe. They're the best plays on the board. They should come in your lineups, right? When you open up your lineups page, they should be in there. They should just like come in there. In tournament, sure, there's arguments to be like, okay, their ownership's too high, maybe game theory, blah blah blah. But I'm not someone that really does that a ton. I'm a cashing guy. I play like a one or two lineups, and if I see just safe, easy value in basketball, that just is pretty much a smash to hit. If it doesn't hit, I'll take the L and move on. But I like the free squares of Middleton and Bledsoe today. Just take those free squares and move on. All right, that's about it, guys, for the Fantasy Fix podcast. I'll be back tomorrow to talk about the slate. And excited to do that. If you have any questions, give me a follow on Twitter at Travis Mangone. It's TravisManGone. Again, it's TravisManGone. Have any questions on the slate? I love answering them for you. If you have any general strategy questions, even ask after a lock, feel free to ask me. I'm always willing to answer them. Just the only problem is like when it's from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, right before lock, it can be an issue to try and answer those questions. So yeah, just try and get them the sooner the better. And again, I'll always be tweeting out the late breaking news as well. So if you want, check that out. And thanks a lot for joining me. For me, Travis Mangone, I am out.